This morning's exhortation, as Jeff told us, is in the face of adversity. And I'd like to start out by mentioning, as Jeff told us in his prayer, about the earthquake that struck Haiti on January 12th. This earthquake is a life-changing event for hundreds of thousands of people. And suddenly, there are many parentless children that are currently being relocated to other countries, to a way of life that they are not used to. And there's others who've lost everything. And then there's a whole group of people who have lost their limbs. And they will have to learn to live a different life. They will have to learn how to eat. They'll have to learn how to just do regular chores and building things. So they are going to be a group of people that are definitely in the face of adversity. They will have to learn a new life. And then there will be a whole group that's even different. There's a group that's going to have to depend on other people for the rest of their lives. And during all this, they are going to suffer because they're going to have to live in tents or just out in the open for a long, long time before things can be restored. And this is a very tragic event for such a poor country, where so many now are dependent on the rest of the world for help. And there are a lot of people reaching out to help them, which is a great blessing. And we too also know that we are totally dependent on God for all we have and all we need. There is nothing that we receive that is by our own doing. And all our praise should go back to God for what he lets us have. We also know, we're told, that there's going to be many earthquakes, there's going to be lots of floods, fires, and wars. And these events to us will be life-changing as well. And in today's readings, we are blessed that we have two men who led lives that were life-changing in their lives. First, we have Joseph, who we read about in Genesis 39, whose father loved him more than all their children, all his other children. And because of that, his father made him a tunic of many colors. And Joseph's brothers also noticed that he was getting extra special attention, and Joseph showed more love to Joseph than them. Joseph was also blessed with being able to interpret dreams. And when he dreamed dreams about his brothers, he revealed it to them. And again, he dreamed another dream, and he revealed it to them again. And his brothers hated him for this. Joseph actually believed what God told him and what God revealed to him in dreams. He shared this with his brothers in total confidence, but yet they hated him for that. The life-changing event in Joseph's life is not when his brothers put him in the pit and were conspiring to kill him, but it was when he was sold for 20 pieces of silver to the Midianite traders, who then took him to Egypt and sold him to Potiphar, and he becomes a servant. Then he's taken away to another country, Egypt, and he too is away from the comfort of his family, but he wasn't taken away from his God. We also learn in chapter 39 and verse 2 that the Lord was with Joseph, and we're also told that he was a successful man. And in verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he had prosper in his hand. So the question for us is, in this one single sentence, Joseph is described as the Lord was with him. In other examples, there are men described in the Bible. In Genesis 5:22, Enoch walked with God. In Genesis 6:9, Noah walked with God. In Luke 1:6, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were both righteous before God, walking in all his commandments. And then David, a man after God's own heart. And in Acts 11:24, Barnabas, a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. And then we have Jesus. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. How would God summarize our life in one sentence? Hopefully, we are told, "Well done, good and faithful servant," when Jesus returns. These four simple words, "The Lord was with him," described Joseph's complete life. No matter what happened to Joseph, the Lord was with him. And because the Lord was with him, Potiphar trusted Joseph with all he had. Joseph served his master with that same trust. Joseph never tried to do anything on his own. He let God guide his life and path. Joseph also recognized what sin was, and that Potiphar's wife, when she was trying to commit him into something he didn't want to do, yet he replied to her in verse 9, "Oh, how can I do such a great wickedness and sin against God?" It wasn't an option for Joseph, and she couldn't take no for an answer. She kept trying and trying, and finally, he had to run from her. What we see in Potiphar's wife is a woman that is not a very credible person, and one who is willing to lie and not faithful to her husband. And because of this type of personality, it let Joseph go to prison. For Joseph, going to prison was a better option than sinning against God. For he tells us in big parentheses that the sin that she was trying to commit is great wickedness before his God. And he was trying to emphasize to us that there is no sin that God can't see. But again, while he's in prison, the keeper of the prison turns over all that he has, and there again he prospers from God's hand. God's path is not a path we would normally take. And as we see in Joseph's life, there's a lot of zigging and zagging, but this is the path that God has chosen for him. And the same in our lives. We're going to zig and zag on our road to the kingdom, but it's the path that God is leading us in. Joseph had great respect for Potiphar's house, and we could see that in the way he dealt with Potiphar's wife. And he was left with all that Potiphar had in great trust. And you could see that God was working in Potiphar's life. You could see that it was God that was letting these people let Joseph rule over the things they had. We too can find ourselves having to trust people every day and just the things we deal with daily. We trust that the money in the bank will be there when we need it. We trust that the water that comes out of our faucet will be drinkable. That when we hire a contractor, he does the right job for us. The food we order at a restaurant, is it safe to eat? Learning to trust God with all our heart is being prepared to go where he is taking us, letting us trust in him so he can work in our lives like he did in Joseph's. Even though we have a natural tendency to try and make sense of the things in our lives and the circumstances and situations, we can't. There's no way we can understand everything. We're not equipped to. God tells us that his ways are higher than ours, and Joseph understood this. So if we turn to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, we are told, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than yours." So when God's working on our lives, we know there's just no way we're going to be able to understand what he does, because we're flesh. We don't have the capability of understanding. But we do know that he's there for us. And this can help us to find relief from worry. We don't have to dwell on finding understanding. God tells us that if we trust in him, he'll direct our path. The things that happened in Joseph's life would have discouraged most people. Yet, in the face of adversity, Joseph lived putting God first, trusting him. And he was ready to serve wherever he ended up. Even all the wealth that he served, of all the people, he truly turned out to be the prosperous one because the Lord was with him. And Joseph understood what the will of the Lord was for him. And if we look at Genesis chapter 45, 5 through 8, "But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a prosperity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it is not you who sent me, but God. He has made me a father of Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." So Joseph is telling us that he was sent to save his people. And we see much the same thing when we look in Matthew 26 at Jesus' life, that many of the same things in his life reflect back to Joseph's life. Jesus was a shepherd, as was Joseph. Both were sent to look after their father's flock. Jesus and Joseph were both falsely accused of sin. Jesus can also tell his disciples about his death in the future. And Joseph tells of dreams of what will happen in the future. Both were sold for money, and both were prosperous, for God was with them both. Both seeked God for their strength. And God sent Jesus to be with us. And he is given the name in Matthew 1, Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus came so he too could save his people, and he would save them from their sins. God can work with us in many different ways. He works with us through angels. He can work with us through other people. And there may even be ways we're not aware of. For us, it's always good to examine our life and to make sure that all we do is truly pleasing to God. We should never be afraid to let God shine in our lives so that others can have a chance to see how God works in our lives. Jesus shows us just how weak our flesh is when the disciples can't even stay awake long enough to pray. Our flesh is weak, and mine as well. And mine has a great appetite once in a while to call out for things I don't need. And it's yelling at me, "I need it, I need it." But before you know it, you can succumb to the flesh and cave in to disobedience to God. So before our flesh gets too weak, let God strengthen us. For we can't strengthen ourselves. even when Jesus is troubled by what is about to happen to him. During his great agony, while he is sweating, and he is overwhelmed with much sorrow, God sends angels to strengthen him. We find that in Luke 22. And while he was praying, Jesus asked to strengthen, I read that wrong, sorry. God sent angels to strengthen him while he was praying. Also, in verse 38 of Matthew 26, Jesus asked his disciples to watch. Not to pray or even support him, but just to watch. And then he prayed, "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And in verse 41, he asked them again to watch, this time pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And a second time he prayed, "If this cup cannot pass away from me." I drink it, your will be done. And again, he found them sleeping. And again, he prayed a third time, saying these same words. So notice that the two different ways Jesus prays. First, he asked to let this cup pass from me. And then in the second, he asked if this cup cannot pass from me. Jesus is asking, "Lord, what is your will for me?" And then Jesus understands that he is to surrender his will to God. And he awakens his disciples and says, "Rise, let us be going. See who betrays me." See, he is at hand now. So we see that Jesus gave his life for us. He gave his will to God. He surrendered that will. And he led a perfect life without spot. A life that conquered sin. And the blood that he shed for the remission of our sins, he shed for all. And salvation to all. This life-changing event was a gift from God to all of us. Jesus knew what the will of his Father was. And he came to save his people. And Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate. Wide is the gate that is broad. And the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it." Our faith and trust in Jesus will help us find that gate to the kingdom. So in closing, we have a few things we can ask ourselves. We should always walk with God, not against him. We should let God make us prosperous instead of trying to do it ourselves. In the face of adversity, God builds us up that much more, as we have seen in Joseph and Jesus. And hopefully in Haiti, the people of Haiti can climb out of the rubble in the face of their adversity and restore their lives. God will always be with us if we let him, like he was with Joseph and Jesus. Don't let sin become our downfall. Learn to say no when confronted with sin, as we saw with Joseph and Jesus. Pray to draw strength, lest we are tempted. And always give God the praise for our abilities. It's God that makes our path straight, and with his help, we can trust him to reach the final destination, which is the kingdom for us. For all the work that Joseph and Jesus did, they did it for the glory of God, to save God's people, us. And when Christ returns, we will see that glory fulfilled. For in Numbers, we are told that, "But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord."